but it has an AC component because it's in the real world. The free space around the globe is actually resonant, and it's resonant at, if I recall correctly, like 21 hertz or something like that. When it hits that, that energy that goes in it, and when it hits a fence post or it hits a sewer pipe or whatever else, that all causes the world to ring like a big bell. And because of that, we have a number of different RF outputs from this thing. It's basically, you know, DC creating a whole bunch of DBI. W1AU.
Yep. So, a crude abstraction would be if you put DC into an RF generator, it's going to generate, in this case, a harmonically rich, which will have various amplitudes and various frequencies based on where it's being observed and from what points those emissions are emanating on the planet. You use the fence post as an example.
So the problem with that explanation, and the reason for that is, you take DC and you're gonna pulse it, you're gonna create a square wave. But then you have a generator, and then you create a DEC pulse. What is the difference between these two and direction?
Well, you know, like any other potential, you know, it's going to have a rise time. So instantaneously, you're not going to have, you know, whatever that DC voltage is present in a uniform manner. There will be inductive and there'll be reactive properties of the Earth, which will take that energy and, if you will, shape it. And the physical features of the Earth, etc., will cause you to have a distortion of that DC, you know, signal. And the physical resonances that are produced both locally and globally, as Bill pointed out, that the Earth's resonance is around 21 hertz, which is my recollection as well. But because of all the stuff, you know, that's on the planet, you're going to have different products observed at different times or emanating from different points on the planet at different times, even within a small scope, you know, i.e. the area around a lightning strike. So, you know, if you think about it, you apply a hammer to a bell. The bell will have primary and secondary and tertiary and quaternary, etc., emissions, and each will have different amplitudes. And if the bell is irregularly shaped, you will observe more or less of them from your point of observation.
Okay, so what is the range of the frequencies of the lightning and to exam?
That I don't recall, but that's a good question. Anybody have any recollection on that? Mr. Bill?
W1AU. Depends on when the lightning strikes. If it strikes back in the 1800s, there aren't any TV antennas and very few in the way of fence posts or telegraph wires. If it strikes now, there's a lot of metal out there, so that energy goes into the metal. And those are resonant circuits, and they're going to come out. The lightning itself is, as we know, it's in a big old tank circuit. We got a capacitor, which is a cloud in the sky. It's got energy. It discharges with a very sharp spike, and anything around there that can receive that energy is going to then re-radiate it, including other clouds and raindrops and all sorts of crazy, nutty things. So it really depends on where it happens. If it's in the desert in the middle of the 1600s, I imagine it's going to be simpler than it is today. KCAR, W1AU.
Right, so everything from, as you say, the raindrops to the trees to the transmission lines to, you know, metal structures, cattle fences, highway supports, any of that stuff, they're all resonant circuits. And so the spectral response will depend on the locus of the applied energy and what's there.
Thanks, Ian.
Go ahead.
It might be partially true from the receiver standpoint. Actually, the lightning strike does contain all of the possible frequency you can imagine, from very low to very high. That's my statement. I'm not the god, and I believe that there's a lot of truth in it, in that statement. That's why I ask you the question. Components of the race time of the inputs are the products containing all of the frequencies of the lightning, or speed of raising and falling of an impulse is the reason of creating various numbers of frequencies of lightning. Which one is true? This is N2XGN.
Both. Yeah, I would say both as well.
N2XGN. I believe it's only race time. When you're dealing with the DC that you pulse with a switch, you only have a DC of nature that is positive with no negative offset. When you have a generator, then you can deal with the square wave signal that could have an offset. And the reality of the creation of any square wave component, you're dealing with something that is a momentarily change in the very short period of time with the level of the amplitude. That's where you created all of the various frequencies. If you look at the generator, look at the oscilloscope, or you take the spectral analyzer, and you see all of these variables of the square wave created. All you see is peaks with the variable changing amplitude, but you have a pattern of repeatedness in there because you have artificially created them. Now, Mother Nature does not allow you to do that in reality. Mother Nature makes you momentarily change from zero to a thousands of volts. That's where all of the AC components of the square wave are being created. Now, you can hear them only from the antenna based on the resonant response that you have from the resonant circuit. So yes, I agree with you. All of you gentlemen are right. But would you please correct me if I'm right in my statement, or maybe I'm completely wrong. This is N2XGN.
Okay, very good. Bill?
I can't correct you or not correct you. All of this has to do with electromagnetic theory, and it's still theory, not law. So you can't get pulled over by a cop for exceeding the orbital spin of an electron. What this boils down to is that if you use Fourier and you look at a spike coming out, and that's the lightning bolt, you look at its rise time and you say, if I were to recreate that, I would have to have a series of RF frequencies, and you can write a nice little long equation including these things, and it ends up being a Fourier series. And the reason why they call it series is it basically, if you want a job for life, you just keep on going. But it's got a lot of different frequencies in it, and those frequencies and the energy from it then stimulate other things. That's where I was getting the difference between a lightning bolt in the 1600s and the lightning bolt today. But the lightning bolt itself, you're correct, contains, I won't say infinite frequencies, but a whole bunch of frequencies. KQBAR, W1AU.
Yeah, I mean, I think you put it with, I had no intention of correcting you, because I think you were somewhat agreeing with what Bill and I were saying, but fundamentally, there are, how do I say it, you apply energy to a system, and it's going to, you know, react. When that system is resonant, that system is going to have emissions. They in themselves may be harmonically rich, and depending on their proximity and the amount of energy that's there, and the resonant characteristics of whatever it is the energy is applied to, you'll have more or less re-radiation, if you will. The thing that gets me is you asked a different question. And I'm not so sure. You asked if the pulse is a product of the rise time or the fall, and the answer is both, because it's the area, if you will, of measured under the curve of that energy, if you will. So there's continuous, you know, shall we say, induced emissions or re-radiations as a function of the of what's being put in. So whether or not it's during the rise, during a peak, or during the decay cycle, that while there may be less energy being applied to the system that's re-radiating, it is still, in fact, re-radiating in that harmonically rich environment in which you applied the lightning strike, i.e. the energy.
Well, thinking about it, when we were dealing with the falling time of the impulse, we're dealing with the energy that is diminishing. There is not enough energy to create anything. It is energy that is actually going to zero. When we have an energy that is rapidly going up, then we have an energy to create a component in the time frame of the creation. And to exceed.
I'm not so sure I got what you were saying.
What I was trying to say is that when we have right time, we're dealing with the rapid growth of the energy. When we're dealing with the fall time, we're dealing with the energy that is simply dying. So, if we think about it as the creation of the key components, is that AC components utilize the energy of the rise time, and I to understand why then when we're losing energy we create additional components, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure. Okay. The actual, you know, shall we say, dynamics of a lightning strike are very complicated. There's the strikes and then there's the return strike, and I'm not going to go into that, but for the fundamental strike, look at, you're applying a DC voltage to a reactive thing called the Earth. Starting with the atmosphere, with the raindrops and whatever else is in the air, going right to the surface of the Earth, into the core, and then, to ultimately the ground, if you will, the magnetic core. I'm not going to get into the return strike things and what happens with ionized air and stuff like that. Let's just leave that alone. But as you apply that DC, what's happening is you're dealing with that inductive element. So there's an impedance going on. Okay? So let's abstract that back to what would happen if I had a voltage source to ground through a resistor. And it's a variable resistor, so I'm going to turn that pot to the point where it rises in the middle to ground. And then let's say it's a double-edged pot, so it's zero in the middle. And I then keep turning it, and it goes right back to maximum resistance again. So at the beginning, I'm going to have a little current flow, but my voltage is pretty high. And then as my resistance decreases, my current flow will increase. My voltage will ultimately drop. And so it's kind of reversed of a resistor. So I apologize for the bad analogy. But what I'm trying to say is that at that point, it's fully depleted. There is no current when it's shorted. So, okay, fine. That's kind of what I'm... what happened in a DC circuit, but then, a mechanical circuit. And then as you increase the resistance, there's a of current, and finally it drains off, or stops flowing, I should say, not drains off, but stops flowing. So if it stops flowing, during the decay time, there's still current flowing from maximum current to minimum current as it trails off. It's not fully symmetrical, but the point is that the fact that you have a rise, a max, and a fall, the point where they're equal on the rise and the fall, they're going to produce similar resonant emissions on whatever it is it's hitting and re-radiating from. That was bad, but you got the idea, I hope.
Interesting. It makes sense. But DC represents resistance, not impedance. So we're dealing with the impedance in the situation when we create square wave and direction.
Well, instantaneously, it's not really a square wave. It's just, think of it as just a switch, right? You're just switching it on. The problem is in the real world, as Bill said, you're not dealing with just a switch to a zero resistance circuit to a theoretical load. It's got a reactive component which is going to create the rise times. It's going to hit, so it's going to complicate things a bit as to how the energy gets applied to all those resonant goodies, in and around the Earth, whether they're raindrops or fence posts or transmission lines or buildings or bridges.
It makes sense. I do thank you very much for your comments in this area and your response to my questions. And also, other general math. It's my first time on this repeater and my first time on the technet. I had no idea till now that such technet exists. I would like to know, do you have a timer on it? When somebody talks, it switches off. It is a timeout, effective.
Yeah, I think it's set for a minute 50. So yes, there is a timer. We try not to go too long, but what the heck, it's no problem with it. That was good. If things get really esoteric, I would suggest Dixnet. What we try to do here is, try to understand things like certainly lightning, or how, certain antennas work, or how, gizmos might be able to work. We had a series of conversations a while back on voltage regulators and solar panels and power budgets and things like that. And we've had innumerable conversations about balance, and Jim and others are our resident experts there. So there's lots of different things. To it, let me ask. Let me first thank you for the questions. And the other is, are there any other questions for the net or things people would like to cover? This is K2BAR.
K2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
I just want to let everybody know that I received the new general class exams. for the VE sessions that will take place after July 1st. I haven't even looked at them yet. They're still in the folder, but the day is coming when if you have been studying the current material, get to a test session by the end of the month. Whether it's start all studying all over again. And that's about it. One comment, too. Dave and K2ZC came out with 14 contacts on the NAQCC sprint. I wound up with 5 on the millivolt sprint. There was a lot of noise that night. Everybody was in the same boat, I think, from the way the results were. That's posted online already. It just posted the next day. They do a good job with that. I congratulate Dave with his Flex radio. Back to that. Thank you, W2JK.
All right, very good. Anybody else have anything?
Would like to risk one more question.
Go ahead, Wesley.
Okay. Standing wave is similar in to BEMF, back EMF in nature. Is it? And in which position you have to put the wire so the magnetic field is parallel to the ground and the electric component is vertical?
I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that some more. And frankly, we can do one esoteric topic per night, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm very sorry about it. Thank you.
No, it's okay. One of the things that's a little different about this net than Dick's net, just so you know, and don't get me wrong, we welcome, you know, the brain teasing questions. You know, what is the meaning of, something that you ask questions that are on the good side of what is the meaning of life and nature. I'm okay with that. But one of the other reasons why this net is pretty popular is to operationalize what we know, what we're doing, and how we do it. So there will be a discussion about, you know, operating as well, or applying what we do to operating. So we do try to keep things, in a pleasant mix. So everything from, you know, what Don just reported is to, you know, why, where, and how various QRP and micro QRP contests worked, to how do I build antennas, to, you know, I went on the air and started to play with a Flex 5000. Oh, by the way, I'm using an Apple, which is, you know, Jim's way of saying he's beating his head over the, you know, beating himself stupid with tire iron while trying to use a DSP radio. And the esoteric questions you raised, that's all good. We just like to keep it a happy mix. Anyway, anybody else have anything else they'd like to discuss in the way of what I'll call more operational or applied technology things? Otherwise, I think at 10:30 we're going to probably bag it. Okay, by the way, last week we ran till after 11, and it was a very lively conversation. So I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. This was interesting, and getting a little worried. I want to wish everybody a happy field day, encourage people to get on anytime after 1 p.m. on Saturday, whether they're with a group out in the field. There's Barra over at the Community Services Building in Paramus. There's Fairlawn over by the park near the community center where the Fairlawn Radio Club is. 1070 will be operating Saturday day into early evening only at Camp Gaw. And I honestly don't know where anyone else is operating. I don't know where Ramapo Mountain's operating, so I'm drawing a blank there. And regrettably, I will not be operating except portable or mobile from Pennsylvania, but I'll be watching my son's hockey games in between. So, 7-3, everybody. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater and wish you all a fond good night. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, retrain the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
W2TTT, disconnected. Connected KB2ESE. Thank you.